Welcome back to the lab. To the skeptics, the history buffs, and everyone looking for the truth, most of modern society treats the story of Noah's flood like a nursery rhyme. We picture a cute little boat with giraffes sticking their heads out of the window, floating on a gentle sea. But if you read the actual account in the Bible, Genesis chapters 6 through 9, it wasn't a petting zoo cruise. It was a global factory reset. I work with technology, and I know that when a system gets completely infected with a virus that destroys everything it touches, you don't just delete a few files. You have to wipe the device and start over. The Bible claims that humanity had become so corrupted by violence and evil that the Creator had to reset the earth to save it. In this file, we aren't asking, did a boat float? We are asking, is there evidence that this planet was wrecked by water on a global scale? The rocks beneath our feet say yes. Section 1.0, the mechanism. It wasn't just rain. One of the biggest misconceptions is that the flood was just a really long rainstorm. Rain alone cannot cover Mount Everest. But the Bible describes something much more violent. The description, Genesis 7:11 says, "All the fountains of the great deep burst forth." The reality, we aren't just talking about storm clouds, we are talking about the Earth's crust cracking open. Massive underground reservoirs of water and magma exploded upward. This likely caused the continents to break apart and move rapidly, not slowly, over millions of years. If this happened, we shouldn't look for a flood layer of mud in your backyard. We should look for the entire Earth's surface to be a record of a violent, watery catastrophe. Section 2.0, the evidence. Layers across continents. In our last file, we talked about the flat rock layers of the Grand Canyon. But the evidence is actually much bigger than that. The global blanket. We find the same thick layers of sand and rock stretching across entire continents. The Tahpitz sandstone. There is a specific layer of sandstone at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. But it doesn't stop there. It covers over half of North America. We find the exact same layer in Europe and Northern Africa. The logic. A local river flood, like the Mississippi flooding, leaves a local mess. It does not lay down a uniform sheet of sand across four continents. Only a global ocean, rising and moving powerfully over the land, has the energy to spread that much sand so flat and so far. Section 3.0, the fossils buried alive. How do you make a fossil? You don't make one by an animal dying in the woods. Scavengers eat it or it rots away. To get a fossil, you must bury something instantly in wet mud so that oxygen can't get to it. Fossil graveyards. We find massive graveyards all over the world, where thousands of dinosaur bones are mixed together with clams, fish, and birds. The question, why are land animals, like a T-Rex, buried in the same hole as deep-sea creatures? They didn't live together. The answer, they were thrown together. A massive wall of water swept them up, put them in a blender of mud and rock, and dumped them in a pile. Trees, standing up. We find fossilized trees standing vertically, pushing through multiple layers of rock. These are called polystrate fossils. The conflict. If those rock layers took millions of years to form, the top of the tree would have rotted away long before the rock formed around it. The solution. The tree was buried upright in minutes by rapid, surging mud layers. Section 4.0, the shared memory, ancient history. If the human race really restarted from a single family, Noah's, then every culture on Earth should have a memory of this event. And they do. The data, anthropologists have found over 270 flood legends from cultures that had no contact with each other. Babylon, the Epic of Gilgamesh, describes a man building a boat to escape a divine flood. China, the ancient character for boat, consists of the symbols for vessel, eight, and mouths, or people. Noah plus his wife, plus three sons, plus three wives, equals eight people. The Americas, the Incas and Aztecs, both have legends of a world-ending water destruction. The logic, If the flood was just a made-up story by the Hebrews, why do the Aztecs know about it? The best explanation is that they are all descendants of the survivors who carried the story with them as they migrated around the world. Section 5.0, The Reason. Why the Reset? Why would a loving God do this? This is the question that stops most people. The virus. Genesis says the world was filled with violence. The human heart was infected with evil all the time. The system was going to self-destruct. The mercy. The flood wasn't just punishment, it was a rescue mission. God stopped the infection so humanity could have a future. He didn't want to lose us forever. Section 6.0, Conclusion. The lifeboat. The most important part of the flood account isn't the water, it's the ark. God didn't just wipe the world. He provided a way out. He gave humanity a safe mode to survive the storm. The engineering. The ark's dimensions in the Bible are the perfect ratio for stability in rough seas. Naval engineers have confirmed it is almost impossible to capsize. The door. There was only one door into the ark. Noah didn't close it. God did. Genesis 7:16 records, "Then the Lord shut him in." This wasn't just a door. It was a divine seal that no man could open. Today, the world feels unstable again. But the architect has provided another ark. He isn't made of wood this time. Jesus is the door. The storm is coming, but the invitation to come aboard is still valid. You don't have to face the end alone. The gangplank is down. Are you getting on? This is the Quantum Disciple, signing off.